Ever feel like you're trying to grasp some cutting-edge science? You know, it's something that could genuinely impact your health, but you just get bogged down in all the technical jargon.
Oh, absolutely. It happens all the time.
Yeah, me too. So that's what we're doing here. Today, we're taking a deep dive into TB500. It's also known as thymosin beta 4.
Right.
It's a peptide, and it's making waves, really, for its potential in tissue repair and regeneration.
And what's really interesting, I think, is how the early research, the preclinical stuff, animal studies mostly, is kind of meeting this wave of public interest,
Yeah.
which seems partly fueled by chatter on popular podcasts, which shows people are really curious about this stuff.
Definitely. So our mission today is pretty straightforward.
Rare.
Cut through that noise, pull out the key insights on TB500 from these different sources. We want to understand the science behind it, what the early studies are suggesting, any potential downsides or side effects people are reporting, and how it's being discussed, maybe on shows you listen to.
And stepping back a bit, it's just a fascinating look at how these scientific ideas travel, right? From the lab into, well, general conversation.
Totally.
But it also really underscores how important it is to interpret this information carefully.
Crucial
Yeah,
point.
especially with podcast discussions.
Yeah.
They can be interesting. Sometimes they touch on the science, but often they lean heavily on personal stories, anecdotes. And that's just not the same as medical advice. We have to keep that distinction really clear.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get into it then. TB500 sounds pretty sci-fi, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
So what is it exactly? And you said it's a peptide. Maybe just quickly, what does that mean for us?
Okay, so TB500 is basically a lab-made version of a natural thing our bodies produce called thymosin beta 4 or TB4
Okay.
and a peptide. Think of like a short string of amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks for proteins, right? So peptides are like mini proteins.
Gotcha. Short chains.
Exactly. And these short chains can do very specific jobs in the body. TB4 itself, the natural version, it's found all over. But you find higher levels in places like your platelets, those blood cells involved in clotting, and also in the fluid around wounds.
Right, so it's already inside us doing stuff. What kind of stuff is it doing naturally that makes it so interesting for like repair?
Well, natural TB4 does several really important things.
Yeah.
It's key for cell migration, getting cells to move to where an injury is.
Makes sense.
It also encourages angiogenesis. That's the creation of new blood vessels. Super important for bringing oxygen and nutrients to healing tissue.
Okay.
Plus, it helps manage inflammation and plays a direct role in the actual tissue repair process.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting then. If our bodies already make TB4 to do all these helpful things, the idea with TB500 is to kind of supercharge that process.
That's exactly.
Give things an extra push when you're trying to heal.
Precisely. The excitement around the synthetic TB500 comes from that potential, the idea that we could maybe enhance these natural repair systems.
Right.
A lot of the preclinical work is asking if we add more of this peptide, can we make healing happen faster or maybe better in different injury situations?
Okay, let's talk about that preclinical data. What are some of the highlights? Where are researchers seeing promise in these early studies?
Well, the promise seems concentrated in a few main areas, mostly from animal studies, remember?
Right, animal models.
So take wound healing, skin wounds. Some studies showed these wounds closing noticeably faster in animals given TB500.
Faster healing. Okay.
And what's perhaps more interesting is it often seems to happen with less inflammation and better organization of collagen. That's the main protein in connective tissue.
Less scarring.
Yeah, it suggests the potential for, let's say, higher quality healing with less scar tissue formation. And it's not just skin. They've seen similar effects in models looking at eye injuries, like the cornea, and even heart tissue damage.
Wow, speeding up heart tissue repair. I mean, that sounds potentially huge down the road.
It really does, though still early days, of course. Of course. What about more everyday injuries? Muscle pulls, tendon problems, things people deal with more often.
That's another really active area of research.
Yeah.
Again, in animal models of things like muscle strains, tears, tendon injuries, TB500 has been linked with quicker recovery.
How so?
Researchers have noted things like improved muscle regeneration and, importantly, less fibrosis.
Fibrosis. That's scar tissue, right? The stuff that can make things stiff.
Exactly, that restrictive scar tissue. So reducing that could mean better function after healing. There's also some initial work suggesting benefits for nerve regeneration and, as we mentioned, potentially supporting cardiac repair too.
So it's not just faster, but maybe better healing by minimizing that problematic scarring. And you also mentioned anti-inflammatory effects.
Yes, and that's probably a key part of the story. The healing benefits might be partly because TB500 seems to help modulate inflammation.
Modulate, meaning?
Meaning it helps control it. You need some inflammation right after an injury. It's a first response. But if it goes on too long or is too strong, it can actually get in the way of proper healing.
Right.
So by helping to dial back that inflammation at the right time, TB500 might create a better environment for tissue repair to happen effectively.
Okay, but you keep saying animal models, preclinical. We really need to stress this point, right? These exciting findings, they aren't yet proven in big human studies.
Absolutely critical point, yes. The vast, vast majority of what we know about TB500's effects comes from these lab studies and animal research.
Okay.
While they give us good reasons to investigate further, we absolutely need large, well-conducted human clinical trials to know for sure how effective it is and, importantly, how safe it is in people.
Yeah.
That leap hasn't fully been made yet.
Got it. So the early signs are encouraging, but with major caveats. Let's flip the coin then. What do we know about potential downsides?
Side effects. Yeah, this is where that lack of extensive human data really matters. Our understanding of the full side effect profile in humans is, frankly, incomplete.
Makes sense.
But based on the available info, again, mostly preclinical, plus some anecdotal reports from people who have used it, the general perception is that it has a relatively mild side effect profile.
Relatively mild. What does that typically look like? Any specifics?
Sure. The things reported most often seem to be quite minor and don't last long. Things like injection site reactions, just some temporary pain, maybe redness or a bit of swelling right where it was injected. Pretty common with injectables.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
There are some anecdotal accounts, so individual stories, not systematic studies of people feeling fatigued or having sort of mild flu-like symptoms after taking it.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier a theoretical concern about blood vessel growth.
Right, because TB500 promotes angiogenesis, new blood vessel growth, which is good for healing. There's a theoretical question. Could it potentially encourage blood vessel growth where you don't want it?
Like in tumors, for example.
That's the kind of theoretical concern, yes. However, it's really important to state that currently there isn't strong evidence suggesting this is a major issue in humans at the kinds of doses people are typically discussing or using in research.
Okay.
But because we don't have those large, long-term human safety studies yet, we can't completely dismiss theoretical risks. The long-term safety picture in humans just isn't fully established.
That's a really key takeaway. Now, shifting gears a bit, a lot of people listening might be hearing about TB500 not from research papers, but from podcasts, right?
Very likely, yes.
Yeah.
Especially with the interest in biohacking, fitness, longevity. It's the kind of thing that pops up in those conversations.
So names like Andrew Huberman, Joe Rogan, maybe Dr. Craig Conover, practitioners who talk about peptides, it's possible they've discussed it.
It's quite possible, yes. Those are prominent figures in spaces where these topics come up.
So hypothetically, if someone heard about it from, say, Huberman, what angle might they have gotten?
Knowing Dr. Huberman's focus, he'd likely dive deep into the basic science of phymosin beta 4 itself, its natural roles.
Right. The mechanisms.
Exactly. And then discuss the implications of using the synthetic TB500. But crucially, given his scientific rigor, he would almost certainly highlight the difference between the preclinical promise and the current lack of robust human data.
Emphasizing the evidence gap.
Precisely. He'd likely stress that while the biology is fascinating, we need solid human trials before drawing firm conclusions about its use.
Okay, that tracks. What about a platform like Joe Rogan's podcast?
Well, the discussions there could be quite different. You might hear guests sharing personal stories, maybe anecdotes about using TB500 for injury recovery or performance enhancement.
More personal experience based.
Potentially, yes. And while those stories can be engaging, the key thing for listeners to remember is that anecdotes aren't scientific proof. Those conversations might not always explore the full scientific context or the potential risks in detail.
Right. Very different focus. And Dr. Conover. He works directly with peptide therapies.
Yes. So from someone like Dr. Conover, you might hear more about clinical observations, what he's seen potentially happening with patients using TB500 in his practice, maybe specific protocols or perceived benefits for tissue repair.
Sort of real-world application perspective?
Exactly. But again, it's vital to understand that individual clinical observations, while interesting, don't carry the same scientific weight as large controlled studies when it comes to proving widespread effectiveness and safety.
So the bottom line for listeners hearing about TB500 on these shows is be aware of the context. Recognize it's often individual perspectives, not necessarily the full scientific picture.
That's it, exactly. Podcasts can be great for sparking interest, maybe introducing you to a topic, but they aren't a substitute for medical advice grounded in solid evidence.
Especially for something like this, with limited human trial data.
Especially then. The absolute best step, if you're curious or considering anything like this, is to talk to a qualified healthcare professional, someone who understands the science and your personal health situation.
Okay, great. So let's wrap this up. If we boil down our deep dive on TB500, what are the main points you want listeners to walk away with?
I'd say three things. One, TB500, the synthetic version of natural thymosin beta-4, shows real promise in early preclinical studies, mostly in animals, for things like wound healing, tissue regeneration, and calming inflammation.
Okay, the promise.
Two, that promise is heavily based on animal data. Large-scale human clinical trials are still quite limited. That's a major gap in our knowledge right now.
The evidence gap. Got it.
And three, because of that gap, be critical and cautious about information you hear, especially anecdotal reports or discussions on podcasts. They aren't medical advice.
Right. So that caution extends to how we interpret what we hear from various sources.
Precisely. The early research is definitely intriguing. It generates excitement, but approach it with a discerning eye. Always prioritize advice from a qualified healthcare provider who can give you personalized guidance based on the current science and your own health needs.
So for you, the listener, if you have questions about healing from an injury, or you're curious about potential therapies like TB500, that conversation with a knowledgeable doctor or healthcare provider, that's the most important step you can take.
Absolutely. And, you know, it leads us to the really interesting question to ponder looking forward.
Yeah.
Given these promising, albeit early, findings, what does the future hold for peptide therapies like TB500 as more rigorous research hopefully comes out? It's such a fast-moving field.
Mm.
Really understanding the science as it evolves and being critical about the evidence, that's going to be key to figuring out the true potential of this whole area of regenerative medicine.